Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for May 15th, 2025. Amazing, we're almost halfway through the year. It's certainly been a lot of fun and interesting. I've been traveling the last couple of days, haven't had a lot of time to look at everything, so my prepared remarks will be a little bit shorter, and that means we can get a little more commentary maybe from Jeff, but also we can have maybe a little more Q&A, depending on what people want. So obviously the market has continued to rally since the last call. We're up on a big gap. This is, for us, the last week where we should be able to start a potential retest. It doesn't look like we're going to do that. So I would say that the chance of a retest of the 500 area is completely off the table, and we should rally through June, July, August. Well, actually not August, July. And then we'll take a look at things very carefully because we think at that time we could have some interest rate issues. Now, one of the things that is not lost on me is that the bond market is trading much worse than we expected. Obviously, if we see TLT continue to trade badly and drop, that does two things for us. First of all, it does give us fair confidence that we could see some problems in bonds in the second part of the year. And second of all, it may mean that those problems come earlier, in which case we're going to have some problems so in the stock market. So again, let's keep our eyes on things, and we'll just see what happens. But for now, we're sticking with our projection of a rally into the July time period. We already mentioned bonds trading badly. TLT is having trouble getting out of its own way. Again, we note that corporates and munis look a little bit better. Corporates look a lot better, but munis look better, and although they've had a drop on MUB. But the treasuries are where the problems should arise if we're going to have them. We'll keep our eyes on that. In terms of commodities, obviously GLD has gone below that 302 area we've been looking at. It's kind of broken support. There's gaps all over the place. We're concerned that this is going to ultimately break 290 and head for 275 or lower. So again, people who are in gold should have a defensive posture or at least a way to get out of positions if they're concerned about a drop in gold. We are, again, I'll run accumulation models this weekend since we're going to be doing the sector review this weekend and see if we have any real opinion change on GLD, but I don't think we will. So again, you know, and bear in mind, we have missed a lot of this rally. We were sellers of GLD, you know, as we came into February, March. So we're actually, we have sold below 275, which in retrospect has been an incorrect call. But if this starts to go, we could be back at 275 in two shakes of a lamb's tail. Talk about international a little bit. Obviously, EFA has rallied. It's trading very well. That's broad-based developed markets. And Germany has been trading well. One of the things we did mention, though, that was a concern of ours for Europe was that Europe might enter a recession. And if that were to occur, we're not sure how well Europe would do. And what was interesting to me this morning was I did see a headline saying that European growth had slowed, but employment was still strong, so they thought they would miss a recession. We'll just have to see how that is, but that Fidelity recession monitor that one of my clients keeps and I refer to monthly is certainly suggesting that the European economies are weaker than the markets right now. And again, to counterbalance that, one of my dear friends and former colleagues, Marianne Bartels, who the Merrill Lynch people on the call will know, is convinced that Europe is going to do very, very well because of all the defense spending coming in. That could be true, too. I'm just saying it was very interesting that we were seeing signs of a recession. Now we're seeing signs of slowing. in their economies, although employment is strong. So we're going to monitor that situation very carefully. In other news, we mentioned that INDA, which is one of our favorite markets, India, had hit the bottom end of a trading range and it started to rally, and it has. It's still up. The top end of the range on INDA is 60. We could easily see a 45 or so to 60 range in this for a year in consolidation, but the very long-term chart on that is super positive. And again, we thank Yogesh, our colleague on the call and dear friend, for mentioning that India is overvalued. It certainly is by some measures, but you know, this range should continue. One of the reasons to have a trading range is so that the fundamentals can catch up with the technicals. So we're still maintaining positions there. Japan is an interesting situation. We're still bullish on Japan. We still think it exited a secular bear market, but there is going to be some news on Japan this week, towards the end of the week. Stocks like MUFG and some of the other banks in Japan are going to be reporting earnings. How those go will tell us a lot. Of course, people know we've been recommending MUFG since $5 to $6 a share. It's one stock, by the way, full disclosure, I own personally. I'm not going to sell it even if the earnings are terrible. But nonetheless, these earnings are coming this week. It should give us a good idea about the health of these markets. In terms of the Chinese ETFs, we've talked about them. They've rallied off of their lows. It looks like FXI, which has been a little bit stronger than some of the other ones like KWEB, are 30 to 38 ranges. We had some bad news apparently on BABA earnings. So BABA is down. That's been one of our favorite tech plays in China. And KWEB, the Chinese Internet ETF, has been a bit weaker than FXI. And we actually view that as a positive for China. The old line, you know, Chinese stocks, manufacturing, all that stuff, is in FXI, not KWEB, and those are doing better. Again, that tells us that, you know, was telling us before the latest announcement on a China deal that there was going to be some sort of Chinese discussion and lessening of tariffs there, and we still hold that opinion. With those comments, I'm going to actually pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz and see if Jeff has anything for us. Jeff has been watching the market all week, I believe, and has been present, whereas I've been driving all over South Georgia seeing people that I needed to see. So, Jeff, if you're there.
I am. Okay, first question for you, TLT.
Yes.
It's up this morning, and yesterday it was kind of down. So, but it could be making a higher low. Wouldn't that not be a positive if yesterday was a low and from here we climb? I mean, look, we got a PPI number that came in at minus 0.5. Was supposed to come in at 0.3 from a minus 0.4 last month, and that had to shock people. And it seems like the market is underappreciating what that number just was that came out.
Yeah. I think that's right, and it is obeying the indicators. The stochastic gave a sell signal, and down it came. It's now oversold on the daily. My only concern is, you know, this last sell signal was around 90 and substantially lower than the last one around 92.50, 93, and I'm still looking for, officially, in terms of my forecast, 92.50 by July, and that is certainly doable, but it's a much bigger move than I thought we were going to have to make to get there. And again, you know, and Jack, maybe we'll look at the interest rate indexes again this weekend. I'm going to have to think about that, but Jack, alert me. But the fact is, 85 is almost the line in the sand saying that this is going to just blow up and go to 70. And, you know, we're there. We're not in the mid-range that we should be in for a summer rally to 92.50. And what we've been sort of contemplating, Jeff, bonds very often make a cycle low and low for the year in October. And that means they usually peak in summer and go down into October. And, you know, if we go down into October from here – it's going to be very interesting to see where TLT ends up.
Yeah, look, how many times have you seen where we went into a bear market, came out of a bear market, because we were bear market, we go down 20%. We're out of the bear market in a new bull market when we go up another 20%, which we've now done. And to go down again another 20%, I just don't buy it. I mean, I've never seen that in the entire time that I've worked, that we did bear, bull, bear in like 3 months or 4 months. So I think
2007, 2008, because that was a volatile market. I certainly remember that in the 2001 period. Now, admittedly, we had terrorist attacks and all sorts of things. But the thing that's in favor of the market here, obviously, is very, very strong breadth. But it's important to remember, Jeff, that the Zweig breadth thrust, which everyone's talking about, and slicing and dicing, says what's going to happen 6 to 12 months out. It doesn't say what's going to happen 3 to 4 months out. So we could see some problems still. I doubt it. I think we're going to see the problems after July. But, and who knows, Jeff, maybe interest rates will go to 8% and the market won't care. That's certainly possible. I mean, that's the one thing I really haven't considered. But it's certainly, these need to start getting out of their own way sooner rather than later, to me.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. But I'm just saying, look, in 2000, we went down from January until September, and then we rallied from September until the following March, and then we went down from that March until September. So these are longer term moves. These are 9 month, 6 month type moves. This is not go into a bear market in March, come out of it, go into a bull market, come out of it. I'm just saying, You can't go into and out of bull and bear markets every 2 months. It just doesn't happen. And I think there's a lot of people talking their books right now, that want to be. To me, this is going to go down as exactly what happened in 2009, where there was no short interest at the low in 2009. People started shorting because they didn't believe that the recovery was going to come. They kept shorting it all the way into 2010. Then they had to cover. And this time, everyone got blown out by the beginning of this year of short positions. And then they came back and really started adding. And they've been adding ever since. And there's a lot of people that think, oh, tariffs are really bad. Oh, Walmart's going to go and start raising prices, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of macro people that think, oh, we're done and we're going down. So I don't know. I am not in that camp because I think the consensus trade is we're in trouble.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think we are. But you know, if my question really is, and maybe the markets will, for all I know, the markets will view a big rise in interest rates as a positive because it'll improve financial company earnings.
Well, we're not going to get a big rise in rates if inflation is doing what it just did, because there's plenty of room to bring rates down 100 or 200 basis points from where we're at now, because we're almost at like 5% on the 10-year. And you could easily come down to 3, and that would still leave a lot of room for the Fed to have ammo if they need to have ammo, because remember, they took it all the way down to 0. So that is now in their game plan that they can go all the way back down to 0 if they need to.
Yeah, I agree with you. We should see a rally in bonds end of the summer, at least.
Yep. Yep.
If we don't, and frankly, treasuries are acting like we are not going to, that's the big risk.
Yeah, so, treasuries went up for one reason. We were down at 3.8. He came out on Liberation Day and he said, oh, I'm doing tariffs, so we're much bigger than everyone thought. Now we're in this period where we're trying to figure out whether these tariffs are going to go into play or not. I mean, look at what India just said this morning. Zero tariffs on U.S. goods in India. Zero. Yeah. I mean, if that starts to happen in more and more places and we go to a free trading environment worldwide, I mean, that'll be the biggest accomplishment that that any president has done in quite a long time.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And people who know me know that I am not a fan of Trump. I'm a Republican, but I'm not a fan of Trump. And you know, the bottom line is if he pulls this off, I mean, we could be in a bull market for the next couple of years.
Oh yeah, and a worldwide bull market.
Yep. I mean, so we went from being down at almost 4,800, and now we're up at 5,900 in kind of a month, basically. We've rallied almost 1,000 points now. And now the range for the year is only 200 points, the low being where we're at right now, 5,900, and the high being 6,100. What do you think the odds are that we could be back to above the February high in another month or two?
Right now, I'm saying 100%.
100%. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I need to say. That's all I need to ask you, Fred.
I mean, if we can have that rally and then see rates go to 8 to 9%, we can have one of the most volatile years on record as the S&P goes to 4,500 from there.
Yeah,
that would be one of the best short selling opportunities of our lifetimes.
If rates go to 8 or 9%,
yeah.
But if we go to a new high and rates go to 3%, then what?
Then that big rise in rates is probably off the table.
Okay, I'm done. That should probably spark questions from people.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if there's some questions.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Scott.
So, you know, at the risk of catching a falling knife, says the one-armed paper, or knife catcher, excuse me, United Health, I'm looking at a chart going back to 2008, and the lows there, you know, kind of made a non-confirmation in the relative strength. It made a higher low and then, sorry, a lower low and then higher lows as the market made its ultimate lows. And it also kicked off on a monthly chart on the 200-month moving average, which were almost there. So is this something you would just, for shits and giggles, go in and nibble away at or scale into a trading position?
We've had a lot of questions about that, and that was something I was hoping someone would bring up on the call. This reminds me of, you know, Shakespeare, a dramatic moment when he said, "Hark, is that a dagger I see before me?" That's the big down monthly bar, obviously.
Right.
And please forgive me for saying this, everybody. I have no idea why the stock is down, except that maybe they had another CEO change. I mean, sure, there's got to be another reason. You know, Scott, I think the thing for me is if I were to buy some, I would be willing to buy more on another down month. A lot of the time, these big down bars come in threes, and this is bar number two.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the question is, can the stock make it, you know, how low can the stock make it? Can we get back to the, let's say, the low in 2019, which was 173, 175? And the answer is possible. So if you buy some here and try to buy some at 180, you'll probably get a decent average price.
Okay.
It also probably won't turn right around and go back up.
Right.
But again, part of the reason, you know, I'm saying that in the absence of a terrible fundamental problem with the company that I don't know about, because honestly, I don't know anything about it. Right?
There's a DOJ investigation announced today.
Okay. For me, looking at, you know, a healthcare stock with a yield, I'm probably a little tiny bit more interested in something like Merck, which is a drug manufacturer and is obviously could have problems with the Trump news on prescription drugs, but is a much more stable chart.
Mm-hmm.
And is obviously very oversold now.
Right? That monthly chart is nothing but red.
Yeah, but it's holding on near support, and, you know, we'll just have to see. And I believe, and I'm not certain, that the yield is much higher on Merck than it is on United Healthcare. I don't have yields on this program. Would you elaborate on that for a minute?
Yield on 4.38 on Merck.
And on United Healthcare?
UNH is 330.
Right. So you've got a yield advantage and a better chart. I'm not sure I would be all over United Healthcare until I saw some strength. And let's say I'm screwing up, Scott, and we end up buying UNH at 275 and it goes back to 400. Huh? Yeah, I think I myself would rather try that than grabbing the falling knife here.
Right. And so that space, which obviously you're talking about, just can't get out of its own way. What would you look for to get more aggressive in healthcare?
You know, I'm looking at the monthly stochastic on XLV and noting that it is almost down at recycle levels. I mean, a little bit more downside. There's a very large amount of support, the high end to middle end of that consolidation that we had from 2021 to now. It's out of favor, and the stochastic is actually as low as it got in the correction to 2022. So I think if you're the kind of person that likes to buy depressed stocks, this is where I would start to buy some of the more attractive healthcares.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I would expect much to happen with them on the upside for 4 to 6 months.
Right. Okay. Uber. One last question there. Uber.
Okay.
You like this? Is this breakout legit?
I think it's legit. I will say this. And I take a fair amount of Ubers. Certainly from airports, Uber is no longer cheaper than a city taxi in almost every instance.
There's also a big narrative out there now that they're going to be the inside track on autonomous driving.
And that may be, and that, again, I don't know about that. Where I do think Uber is important.
Robo taxis,
yeah. Where I do think people are underestimating Uber is in places like Southern California, where you take a train from Los Angeles to San Diego, get there, and there are no car rental places.
Right.
Right. And that's happening more and more with public transportation around the country. Even here in Atlanta.
And Uber is expanding a lot internationally as well, for what it's
worth. Yeah, there's a couple of companies. Spain, Uber was illegal. I've heard they're going to change that. So, I mean, I think there's enough in the stock that you could certainly try it, and I know it's a big Merrill Lynch recommendation.
All right, thank you very much.
Cool. Other questions?
Brad, a couple just quick. I got a flight to catch. ECH, and I'm... I got a client who was like Bob Robbins, who talked up Argentina before it happened, and now he's talking up Chile and Colombia.
Okay.
So, I don't know if Bob's on the call, if he has any
Chile
thoughts.
Is certainly trying to improve. Oddly enough, I just had some friends that are Chilean that went back to Chile after a long period of time, And they said that things were going well, but they were quite expensive. Water resistance, 38 to 40. It is a breakout above 30 so far. I think it's worth a try. And Columbia's got an interesting feature to it. And that, for anyone who wants to look at it, is GXG, I believe. And, of course, I typed
yes,
in
SXG. Yes, that's correct. Yep, that's
correct. There's one thing fascinating about Columbia, and if it gets through that 30 resistance, it could easily get to 38 to 40. Columbia, oddly enough, has turned into a retirement haven for North Americans. Right now, predominantly Canadians. But Americans are going there too. And that means a lot of foreign exchange. The way those programs work, Steve, is you have to have a certain guaranteed income from abroad in dollars.
Mm.
Right? And then you get retiree status and a whole bunch of breaks on tariffs and things like that. They call them duties, but they're really tariffs on bringing household goods in and cars and things of that nature. So I would say I've been sort of looking at Columbia out of the corner of my eye and thinking that that could end up doing very well. That would stabilize a lot of the problems they had in that country.
This guy says they've got the same sort of, both those countries have candidates for president who look like they're going to win, who are similar to the Argentinian guy. So
yeah.
We'll see. He was right about that. Let's see. And then just a couple others. PINS, P-I-N-S, Pinterest.
P-I-N. Pinterest. PINS. Okay. You know, it's held to 22 support, which is really big-time support. You got a lot of resistance at 35. This is not a favorite, Steve, but it is on a weekly buy. So if you've got good reason to try it, go ahead.
Okay. DVN.
The dividend one, Devon Energy, rather.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oil should rally into summer. This has got a lot of resistance, 38 to 40. It is on a weekly buy. It's probably worth, and it's half more than halfway above the big down week. So that's probably worth a try here. I think the oils are all worth a try here.
Okay. TTD, Tom David.
Lot of resistance here, not a favorite, although it is on a weekly buy.
Okay. TW?
Tradeweb.
Tradeweb, yeah.
Yeah, this is much better. Above 150, you've got potential move to 165.
Okay. And then I always have to ask about AppLovin, ATP.
Apple... it's at resistance. I think this is going to be a consolidation for a while between 200 and, say, 220. So, of course, you're right in the middle, but it is on a weekly buy, and it's something I would hold longer term. I don't have any reason to sell this longer term. I just think it's going to be a range and maybe underperform a little bit.
Hey, Fred, he asked for AppLovin, APP.
Oh, APP.
Oh,
yep.
Sorry. Thank
you. Yeah, that's okay.
Yep, I didn't catch it.
Yeah. You know what's interesting on this is it did satisfy the downside for the third angle of ascent. So I think you've got a shot to 400. If it turns over there, that's going to be a problem. But for now, I guess I'd hold it.
Okay. And then I've got a client who needs to sell two stocks. One is Remitly. I think it's R-E-L-Y. We'll check it.
L-Y.
Right.
You know, I don't have any reason to not sell some today just because he's got that big gap at 21 and it's 22.46. If he's got a window, I'd go through some of it now anyway.
There's no window at all. He's more worried that the tax status might go away. It's one of those qualified stocks that I guess they're talking about with the tax getting rid of it, but
there's
no urgency. So if there's no, and we just sold some a couple of days ago.
Good.
If there was no urgency, what would you say?
I'd say, you know, you've got risk to 21. If it goes much below 21, I would sell more. But if you've already sold some, this is where I would sell some. So you're okay there.
Okay. And how about where would be a target to look for on the upside?
24 and a half, I'd sell some more there.
Okay, that's right where we sold it. Okay, and then he wants to sell some Tesla too, so TSLA.
You know, I haven't been watching that one. I'd been looking for 340 on it, and it hit it, so I'd sell it here.
Okay,
I think go right back to 300, and then we think about buying it again, but it got exactly to our target, actually a little better.
Okay, super. Thank
good.
You.
Fly safely.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Good. Alaska Airlines has the best breakfast, by the way, of any airline in first class that I've had, except for good international flights.
Hey, Fred, can you look at TME?
TME, Tom, Mary, Edward, Henson. You know, I have to look at a longer-term one on that. You've got a breakout above 15 that, if it holds, should get this to at least 18 to 20 and maybe more. So this is a hold. If you're real aggressive and you're willing to buy it and then sell it again if it starts stalling at 18, I would do that. And as I recall, you can be aggressive.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Be safe. Other questions?
Hey, Fred. John Niebling.
Hey, John.
I've just got some stocks to ask you about. MWA, where would I put a stop in there? Where would it run into trouble?
Well, those are two questions, unless you mean run into trouble on the downside. One of the little tricks here is to utilize the parabolic time price momentum system. And if you do that, it's actually already negative. So you know that this may have a downward bias from here. Depending on how much risk you want to take, I'm looking at those two big down bars, that happened earlier in May.
Right.
If you're trying to hold it, your stop has to be below there, which would be like 23, I think.
Right.
If you're trying to protect profits, obviously wherever. If I were trading this, I would have a stop at 24, maybe 24.05. I wouldn't want to let this go back to 22.
Got it. All right, how about Walmart?
That has looked particularly good. Interesting, the parabolic went short about 5 days ago, and it's down. But as long as that stays above 90, I'm fine with it. It had a target at 96. It hit it. Some consolidation would be worthwhile. But as long as that's above 90, I would hold on to that. And if it can go sideways for a while here, it may generate a whole new buy signal.
Okay, good. Carvana, CVNA.
Okay, let's try typing. CVNA, not CNVA. Okay, let's have a look at this. That's a fine-looking short-term chart. Let me look at the intermediate. You are trying to break out. Now, the coward in me would say, I'm going to just sell it here because it's not breaking out. But you're probably not as cowardly as I. So I would stay with this, and much above 300, you've probably got 310.
All right, sounds good. Two more. MRX, Merex.
MRX. Interestingly enough, the down bar that we just are going through now hit right in support at 42 and has held it. So any low below the low of today would be a concern. Otherwise, I would hold this and think it could recover to 50. And if you're real nervous, try to sell it at 47.
All right, thank you. Last one, Little Fuse, LFUS.
And That's a decent chart. Again, the gap, your risk is probably 206, and this could get to 228, 229 from here. So I think it's worth holding. And this is interesting. I wonder if the chairman has been to anger management school. Sorry, I had to say that.
All right, Fred, that's all I got. Thank you.
Well, have a good day. Yeah.
Hey, Fred, Yogesh here.
Hey, Yogesh, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So I really, really admire Jeff for his enthusiasm, but just tell him that in our system, nobody's calling us to raise any capital. People want, if they have a cash, they all want to be invested. So just generally, it doesn't work that way. I just wanted to bring it to his attention.
Yeah, see, I've heard that from advisors at other firms too, Yogesh.
So this year, Fred, over the years, you and me have seen the psychology, but this year is totally different. Older people wants to buy anytime. Anyway, so the Fred, my stock is a PEN, Peter Edward Nancy.
Okay. You need to get back above 275 to be on support, but if it does that, you've probably got a move to 286 and then to 297 if it can do that. 286 is a fair amount of resistance.
Very good. And second stock is the SMCI.
Oh, God. You know, Yogesh, with the caveat being that basically I think this is a lousy company, and it has occurred to me that the only announcements I ever hear on it are when they're lowering guidance, suspending guidance, or saying that there's something wrong.
Right.
You are up above 40 resistance. If it starts going back below there, you've probably got 34 on it. But see if you can get this to 48 and then call me, because we'll have to look at this. I may want to sell it at 48.
Great. And the last one is a NVO. Is it worth looking at it?
NVO, Novo Nordisk.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it is. It's making a little bottoming pattern. And if it can hold this 63, 64 area, it might get to 68 to 70. And it doesn't look terrible. You know, I'm not at all convinced that we've heard the last on these pharmaceuticals. You know what I mean? There could be all sorts of interesting things here. I don't think this is over, and this one and AZN, I think, are both interesting. I think Merck is interesting, and even Lilly, a little bit lower, could be interesting.
And last one, the stock. And you mentioned about the China, so I sincerely thank you for China and for the USA. You mentioned the Tesla. How about Amazon? Anything we should be worried about it?
You know, the only thing I would say is it could move fairly easily to 199, which would fill that gap. But again, intermediate term, that's a favorite stock in the sector review that I think is probably actually going to go higher after a move to 199.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Got it. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Other questions?
Hey, Fred. Good morning.
Morning.
So we've been talking Wingstop the last few weeks. So what do you think here? Fill that gap on Wing? Time to cut the cord?
You know, you certainly could, and I would say sell some of it. The real question is, would a move back to 290 that holds and then advances from there, you know, drive you nuts and kill you? But this is where
we're in it. We're in at 240, but my target was filling that gap, so like we kind of got to that 310 area. So
yeah, and that would be a good place to. That would be a good place to certainly. I could sell it here, and I could sell it a little bit more towards the end of the week, maybe.
Okay, and on SPY here, now we got option expiration this week. Where do you see a pullback here to 570s or 560, or what do you
think? I'd say 570 would be great and possible, and that's actually – I'm actually, again, I don't want to talk my own positions, but I'm short this and looking for down into the end of the week. So
what about next week? You got to wait, look at your indicators before you see or what?
Yeah, and the only reason I say down into the end of this week is if we're really going to have trouble and start a down move that people think could be a retest, or much worse, say 500 to 550. It pretty much timing-wise has to start this week. So, you know, if it doesn't do much more this week, and I'm short at like 580, 550 or something, you know. So
where are you stopping out? 592 or something, or where are you going to stop out?
You know, I don't really know. You know, probably a new high for the move, but it's really a time situation. I'm allowed to hold this through Friday.
Okay. Yeah, on the New York Stock Exchange, advanced decline line hit an all-time high for the first time since November this week. You know, it hit it in November. We had new all-time highs on the S&P in February, which was kind of a negative, you know, divergence, which kind of led to this ugly drop.
That,
now,
according
now
to Tom McClellan, actually is an error. It did not hit a new all-time high, but it's close. I think the real important thing, though, is breadth looks really good here. You know, what Jeff was saying about going into a bear market is true, but I think the real reason is you just don't see big bear markets start when breadth is acting this way.
And I think Tom came out and corrected himself. I think it was because he was talking to Walter Diemer back and forth about it. So I checked multiple sources after Tom was saying that, but I think he went back and adjusted what he was – he was thinking we did make new all-time highs on New York. You could check
I'll
it.
I'll go look at that because I haven't read anything or done anything in 2 days.
Yeah. Okay, so we're looking for maybe a little short-term pullback and then probably resume to new all-time highs by the summer.
Yeah, we should go. We should rally into July.
All right, appreciate it, man.
Got it. Other questions?
Friend, this is Chris in Ohio. How are you?
Good, Chris.
So that was going to be my question kind of leading into this on SPY. Do you think we're going to just kind of be in this trading range? But it sounds like you're thinking we're going to hit new highs as we move into July. Obviously, 590 roughly, 610 roughly was the old all-time high. So kind of not a huge amount above here, but still a little bit more. Do you see it? Do you see the possibility of anything much bigger beyond that? Because valuations being as high as they are at the moment, other types of things, announcements on the tariffs, 90-day revisits on the tariffs. What are your kind of thoughts as to, you know, should we kind of, if we're underweighted stocks right now, my question is, could we get back to equal weight? Our allocation.
Yeah, I would get back to equal weight with the idea that I'm going to cut it back again in July if conditions warrant it.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. All right. Thanks, Fred.
And one of the things, and I've got somewhere, I hate to publish it again, but if you go back and look, Chris, or if you send me an email, since I don't think you were subscribing the last time I wrote this, but basically, Bob Robbins and I did some work on the summer rally. And basically, the work that we did said that from a low in May to a high in August, it was a 10% move.
Fred.
Hey, Bobby.
Can you hear me, Fred?
Let's
yes.
have it.
Yeah, it's from the April-May low to the June, July, or August high, the rally historically was 10%. And so that makes that rally the second best of the year, second only to the year-end rally from the November-December low to the subsequent December-January high, 10% also, but over a shorter time period.
Right. What I'm going to mention, Bob, and you certainly, I can send you this. When we did that, one of the questions that when I looked at it later on that I had was, well, how do you know that the May low is the May low when it's happening? Okay.
Yeah, you don't. You don't.
You
got to wait.
Obviously. So what I did was I just did an analysis of all the years saying I'm going to buy at the end of May and sell in either July or August at the end of those months, right? And was that profitable? And the answer was it was astonishingly profitable. And the other interesting thing about the analysis was, Bob, and I may have sent this to you, but I certainly will send it again, saying I'm going to just have a hard sell in July doesn't work for a lot of our clients because they tend to want to be invested as long as possible. But in fact, if you sold in July versus selling in August, there wasn't a sizable percentage difference. And from a time perspective, I believe it only made a difference in 4 years versus starting the analysis back at in the 40s versus to 2021. So in other words, Chris, it's a really reliable rally. And for me, I make a real effort not to sell anything in May. And I give, well, Jeff Garbaz changed my title to buy in May, it's totally okay. But I did get the pros of the article actually in there with the original title, which I was quite pleased with. Jeff missed that, and it's now permanently in print. But, yeah, I started from 1928, and there literally were only four differences when it changed, and it was one of the most reliable rallies. There were 76 positive, 17 negative, 76 positive, 17 negative. The average gain since 1928 for that trade was 5.5%. Now, obviously, we're not looking at the low in May. We're just looking at the end of May, right? And that worked out very, very well, considering that during that time period, there were 62 up years, 30 down years, and one flat year, right? So you had a 50% chance of being down on the year during that period, but 76 up versus 17 down in that time period. So in other words, if you're selling in May, you have the chance of making a very, very significant mistake and leaving money on the table. I hope that answers your question, Chris.
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
Fred, Bob here. Two other comments on other things. One on Palantir. The fact that it made it to an all-time high above 125, currently at 128, means there's negligible resistance. Those people who bought yesterday a point or two higher could have any resistance in the entire history of the company because everybody else has a profit and is not looking to get even. So the stock has that advantage of more possibly running to significant new highs because of the lack of resistance. Okay. Then the other thing I want to try to answer is the question about the Chile and Colombia funds. I'm looking at the Chile fund chart, and yes, that's a multi-year high. So that suggests that at least that alone is reminiscent of Grupo Galicia, Banco Macro, et cetera, a couple of years ago when they were breaking out. However, I did a quick search using the best search engine that I can get my hands on, Perplexity, and there really isn't anywhere near the degree of comparability between the Chile fund and today and the Argentine banks 2 years ago. The Argentine banks had been through, and the country had been through, waves of Peronist communist despair. I don't think that's the situation with Chile. Can it have a great run? I guess so, but I haven't read any news about Chile. I read the Wall Street Journal religiously, so I don't know. I'm going to look around, and if I can get anything, I'll report back.
Yeah. And what's interesting, by the way, on Chile versus Argentina, because I have spent time in both countries. First of all, if you look at the map, Chile has the longest border with Argentina. I think the border between those two countries is longer than any other border between countries. Chile has always been a better company, a better country for business and just having things work, than Argentina was. Argentina has been renowned for just not working. I mean, just things blow up and don't work, and that's something that's been fixed in addition to the government. But Chile's also been a big value play with Latin American investors for a long time, for like the last 10 years. So it should, it's got potential, Bob. Maybe not the same, but it does have real potential.
Sure.
I'm sorry about the barking. I've got a dog situation developing here in the office, so you may get a little more. Other questions? Very well. Then we'll say...
Hey Fred, I've got a few if you still have time.
I do, yeah. Just if there's barking, I apologize.
Okay, no worries. I've got TT.
You know, that is still one of my favorite AI plays. I think the stock has held support on the pullback at 300. I think it looks absolutely – it's at new highs, I think, for all intents and purposes. Let me check one thing. This is one that I would go with. I think this is an easy $500 stock. No breeze.
Okay. SKYY.
SKYY. You are literally right at resistance now. If I could get that at 110, I would consider it, and much above 116 is 125 easily.
All right. SWK.
This chart is erratic as the Dickens short term. But basically, it's got to stay above 69. And if it doesn't, you've got real danger of filling that gap down towards 62, 63. Of the stocks you've mentioned, this is the one that certainly is the scariest.
Okay. Just two more. AIQ. AI ETF.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that still looks like, you know, especially above 39.40, this still should do very well into the summer. I would hold on to this for dear life.
Okay. On that one in the TT, just educate me. There's no fear of like, oh, that looks parabolic because it bounced on such a V and so far so fast. That doesn't come into play
really at
all on these kind of stocks.
I'm looking more at the longer-term chart on TT than anything else. And that was a very nice pullback to where support should have been. And again, you know, I like to use the danger of a parabolic movement more on the weekly chart, because they're also usually big price movements. And I think there are justifiable reasons for TT to actually be going well. Plus, it did go down really for pretty much all of 2025 until now. Right?
Okay.
So yeah. The parabolic moves have a tendency to blow up right away. You know, it's a very quick decline. Take a look. The best example that I can give you is my old stock that I despise so much, SMCI. You know, when that broke down from the monthly peak, in other words, when it went below, I believe we were talking about 100 back then, you know, in 3 months, the stock was 21, right? If you look at the weekly chart on how it blew up, it died very, very quickly. It never gave any sort of a shot at going back up.
Right. Okay.
Whereas train was, I hate to say it was an orderly, nice decline, but it really was an orderly, nice decline right into support. On SMCI, the support broke as well.
Gotcha. Okay. And last one, you alluded to it a little bit, but Eli Lilly, LLY.
You know, I've been looking at the support there as 650. It's quite close. And I've been looking at it as a 650 to 900 range, and I don't have any real reason to change my mind on that.
Okay.
Awesome. In a range, given the type of movement it had, consolidation in a range for a while because of the length of the advance is not at all a bad thing for this as a long-term holder.
Right, okay. And today seeming to break below that those previous lows that it hit multiple times, that's not an issue here?
Well, it's really got the big low that was an up bar. That if it breaks below that, you could see some real damage coming.
Okay.
But I'm looking at the weekly low of roughly 677 that occurred back in April of 2025. Now, I did take this off my list of favorable stocks in the sector review at a very good price. But it would be one that I would consider adding back. I put AZN on instead. I believe we're losing on AZN as well, just not as much as we would have lost on Lilly.
Okay. Good. Appreciate it.
Good. Other questions? Very well. We'll say going once.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Hey, can you please take a look at Wayfair, which is W?
Yeah, I've had some other people
interested. Do you think that's
going to
fill a gap?
Was this a Morgan Stanley name?
It was.
Got it. Okay, it was other Morgan Stanley brokers. You're right at resistance here. The resistance for me is $40. It got there. It looks like it could go back into that gap around $35, but it does look like it's starting to recover. So I don't think I would panic and sell it here.
Okay. And what about, I know Robinhood is in the chart book here, I guess you guys wrote, as long as it stays above 55, is that what you guys are thinking there?
And which is the stock?
Robinhood, H-O-D-E.
Robinhood. Good, okay. Yeah, it's okay. And again, this is sort of a weird company. I don't really follow anything news of it at all. But yeah, as long as it stays above 55, if it goes below 55, you're probably going to get to 48. And then we'll have to see. But Jeff was right when he said above 55. That certainly is, I think, correct.
Gotcha. Okay. And then Delta Airlines, that still has some room to run, you think?
To 56. And then I'd look at it again. 56 would be where it would go if it was going to turn down from there and go back into the 40s.
Great. All righty.
And
so
you know,
thank
airlines
you,
are rentals. They're not long-term holds.
Yes, I got you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome. You have a good day.
Sure.
Other questions?
Fred, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Could you look at Woodward, WWD?
Yeah, that's a nice breakout. There's no reason not to hold onto that at all, and it's an industrial, and the good industrials are trading very, very well.
Do you? If you don't have a position, do you
I
just
buy
it here?
If you want to buy some, I'd buy it here.
You go. You know, I look at this. It's making all-time highs. Do you go full position?
I never do that, but
I never do either.
I would do half and half, maybe half after expiration. But, yeah, if you want to do a full position on that, depending on what the client wants, and you've got some good fundamental data on it, I would say, yeah, I could do a full position on that. Not a problem.
Okay. And then something a little different, PFF, it's a preferred stock, preferred securities ETF.
PFS.
All Foxtrot, Foxtrot.
Sam.
Paul Foxtrot, Foxtrot.
Paul Foxtrot, Foxtrot, yeah. Now, that looks like it's going to recover nicely. It looks like 32.33. I have preferred, if you don't have that one, I hate to use the word preferred, I have favored is probably a better way of putting that. PGX, which is cheaper and has a slightly better yield on it, and that looks like it's going to 11.50. The very best chart of all of these is VRP, the variable rate, but the yield is less. I would say if you're in PFF, I have absolutely no reason not to hold it and even add to it.
Okay.
If you're not in one of them, I would probably look, or if you want to add to your preferred allocation, add some VRP, which has actually been a better chart.
Okay. Because your general consensus is still, at some point, long rates going higher.
Yes, I am. Everybody tells me that I'm smoking crack, which, given my movie career, is probably accurate. Because Colin knows I'm a crackhead in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, I have to go by what the charts are saying, and they are saying that. And again, the trading, the way TLT and that are actually trading, you know, they're not trading like rates are going to make a big down move, and they should be. They should be at 92.50 by July on TLT, right? Why? And the interesting thing also is, I've got a couple of people that I'm correspond with and are friends with, at least correspondent friends, that are bond analysts. And, you know, you can imagine one of the questions I'm asking them is something along the lines of, why the hell aren't treasuries doing better? There's really not a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you look at, there's a little trick to the stochastics here. If you look at, let's say, the monthly stochastic on TLT, now, they're all down now, but for a while, TLT's weekly stochastic was going up and price was going nowhere. When you see that, when you've got a stochastic recycle and a buy and the stochastic is going up and you're not getting any sort of upside, when you finally get the sell signal, it can be a disaster.
Is that any more meaningful in a monthly chart versus a daily?
No, the magnitude is different, but the same idea works both times.
Okay. sticking with cross asset stuff, look at RLY, Roger Lima Yellow.
Roger Lima Yellow. And that's the SPDR SSGA multi-asset real return ETF. Mm-hmm. See, that's a nice conservative ETF. That is trading up. I would have no qualms buying that here.
Okay. Thank you so
that
much.
That's like an excellent core holding. Yeah.
Okay.
Good enough.
Hey, Fred, I've got one for you.
Yes, sir.
Sam Beta Lima Kellogg.
Sam Beta Lima Kellogg. Star Bulk Carriers. That's hard.
Correcto.
Yeah. You got to get above 1750 and then you're in good shape. Otherwise, it's probably going to head for 16 and fill that gap.
Looking
like
really good right now. They just had earnings, and it's a shipping stock, and these are, you know, turnaround candidates from the from the scare. Anyway, so far so good. You're saying looks like a potential hold here.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, it is a hold. I mean, the question is, can it make it really through, you know, through that, you know, 1750 area?
Yeah, confirm the low.
Yeah.
Banking stocks are looking better here after the, you know, worry about a big collapse and recession. Now that's died down a bit. Bank of America. So you think it's still got a chance to go in to get into the low 50s this year?
Yeah, low 50s this year. I would be selling some at 45 and 48 just to be sure. If I
Perfect. Exit stays right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend.
Good enough. Yeah, write the calls. Yeah. Get some premium for them.
Yeah, I've been doing that as well, just to get paid and willing to let it go.
Yeah.
I like those targets, though. That's what I was thinking. We're spot on.
Good.
Thank you, Fal. Have a good weekend.
Certainly, man. You have a normal day. Other questions? Very well. We'll say going once. Going twice. Very well. This will end the Fred Report technical market call for May 15th, 2025. Everybody enjoy your weekend and happy expiration.